إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يحده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله عز وجل، وخير الحدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة دلالة، وكل دلالة في النار. وبعد، we begin as always by reading out the Khutbat al-Haja, these statements which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam began his lectures with, his khutbas with, his reminders with. We want to revive the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to remind the people of the correct way, to revive the practice of the Prophet ﷺ and the first three generations, as was revived by the great scholar Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, reviving the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ by reviving the Khutbat al-Haja. And you'll see this mentioned in his books, especially in Majmu' al-Fatawa, this collection of his works. You'll find the Khutbat al-Haja being mentioned quite often when he wrote and he answered fatawa and questions and dealing with issues. He began with the Khutbat al-Haja. So indeed, all praise belongs to Allah. We seek His aid, we seek His forgiveness, we turn to Allah in repentance. Whomsoever Allah guides, there is none to mislead him. Whoever is misled, none can guide him. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our own selves and the evil of our own actions. I testify that there is none worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. This Khutbat al-Haja was revived by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. Then at a later date it was revived by the great scholar of hadith, Shaykh Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala. And who revived it to the extent that even the people who don't follow the way of the Salaf, don't follow the practice of the companions, even they've revived it in their Jummah khutbas and their lectures. They've actually revived this as well, knowing that this is a practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. With that, we welcome the dear brothers and sisters to another lesson from the lessons of Arba'een Nawawiyyah, the 40 hadith of explanation and benefits and principles from the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi. And this being on the 20th of Sha'ban, according to the calendar, which is based upon the calendar of Makkah, Umul Qura, the 20th of Sha'ban, in the year 1442, even though the actual date is different due to the sighting of the moon, corresponding to the 2nd of April, 2021. And alhamdulillah, we're still continuing with the second hadith, which is in Arba'een Nawawiyyah, which is the hadith of Umar radiallahu anhu, who said, بَيْنَمَا نَحْنُ جُلُوسٌ إِنَّ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ ذَاتَ يَوْمٍ. Whilst we were sitting with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that day, إِذْ دَلَعَ عَلَيْنَا رَجُلٌ شَدِيدٌ بِيَادِ الثِّيَابِ. that a person came, visited us, or came to us, and he had extremely white clothing. Shadidu sawad al-sha'r. Shadidu sawad al-sha'r. That his hair was exceedingly black. La yura alayhi athru safar. There's no signs of journey to be seen upon him. Wala ya'rifuhu minna ahadun. And none of us knew him. Hatta jalasa ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until he came and he sat with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fa'asnada rukbatayhi ila rukbatayhi wa wada kaffayhi ala fakhadayhi. That he sat in such a way that his knees joined the knees of the Prophet, and he placed his hands upon the Prophet's thighs. وقال يا محمد أخبرني عن الإسلام. He said, O Muhammad, tell me about Islam. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الإسلام أن تشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله. Islam is that you testify that there is none worthy of worship except Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. وتقيم الصلاة, establish the prayer. وتعطي الزكاة, وتصوم رمضان, to pay the zakat and fast the month of Ramadan. وتحج البيت, and to perform the Hajj, the pilgrimage of the house, يعني مكة. إن استطعت عليه سبيلا, and if you are able to do so. قال صدقت, so جبرائيل الإسلام said, you have spoken the truth. فعجبنا له يسأله ويصدقه. We were surprised, we are amazed that he asked them the question and he affirmed the answer. قال فأخبرني عن الإيمان. So he said, tell me about Iman. قال أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله ويوم الآخر. That you believe, وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره. That you believe in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, the Day of Judgment. وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره, and you believe in the qadr, the good and the bad of it. قال صدقت, and جبرائيل, the person said, you have spoken the truth. قال فأخبرني عن الإحسان, then inform me and tell me about إحسان, يعني perfection in worship. قال أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. That you worship Allah as if you see him. فإن لم تكن تراه, and if you do not see him, فإنه يراك, he sees you. Indeed and verily he sees you. قال فأخبرني عن الساعة. So the man said, tell me about this final hour, this time. قال ما المسؤول عنها بأعلم من السائل. And the questioner, the one questioned, is not more knowledgeable about this than the questioner. يعني then he said, فأخبرني عن أماراتها. Then inform me about its signs. قال أن تلد الأمة. أن تلد الأمة ربتها. That the slave will give, the slave, female slave woman will give birth to her master. وأن ترى الحفات الأرات الآلات ريع الشاء. That you will see the naked, destitute, barefooted shepherd. ريع الشاء يتطاولون في البنيان, competing in building lofty buildings. ثم انطلق, then he went away. فلبثنا مليئا, and then we stayed for a short time. ثم قال يا عمر أتدري من السائل. أو عمر, do you know who the questioner is? Who is this person that asked the question? قلت الله ورسوله أعلم. Allah and his messenger know best. قال فإنه جبريل أتاكم يعلمكم دينكم. In جبريل عليه السلام, who came to teach you your religion. So that is the hadith. It's a long hadith, but it's a beautiful hadith and it's comprehensive hadith. So we're continuing with the section that talks about Iman. When he asked about Iman, and we look at the first pillar of Iman. The first pillar of Iman is a belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we began with looking at the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal. So we're going to just look at, and we're going to continue with that, this first pillar of Iman, this Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A couple of statements we looked at before about the beauty of Tawheed and the importance of Tawheed, which is singling out Allah alone for worship, or singling out Allah alone for matters which are for him, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ibn Qayyim Jawziyah rahimahullah said, sincerity and tawheed are a tree in the heart. Sincerity and tawheed are a tree in the heart. Its branches are the actions, and its fruits are a good life in this world and eternal bliss in the hereafter. Sincerity and tawheed are a tree in the heart. Its branches are the actions, and its fruits are a good life in this world and eternal bliss in the hereafter. And just like the fruits of paradise, whose seasons is not limited and their supply will not be cut off, so likewise is the fruits of tawheed and ikhlas in the dunya. So tawheed and sincerity is something which is in the heart, and the branches are actions, and its benefits are a good life in this world, in this dunya. When a person is upon clarity of tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, clarity of who he's worshipping, knowing who he's worshipping, you find he will have a good life in this world and in the hereafter. And he will be continuous in the dunya as well, his benefits and fruits of that, because he will be able to deal with whatever comes across, circumstances he comes across, situations that he comes across, because he knows he has to go back and rely upon his creator, which is opposite, in contrast to shirk. As Ibn Qayyim said, he said, shirk, lying and showing off are also a tree in the heart. Shirk, lying, showing off are also a tree in the heart. The fruits of it, which are in the dunya, are fear, anxiety, grief and constraint of the heart and darkness of the heart. SubhanAllah, look at the similitude that Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah brings. It brings a similitude of fear, anxiety, grief, constraint of the heart and darkness of the heart. And these are all illnesses that people suffer from. They suffer from these things. And why is that? He says, shirk, lying and showing off. Yeah, maybe the person is not committing shirk. Maybe he's not lying. Maybe he's not showing off. However, he has strains of this, aspects of this. Not having true, total reliance upon Allah's tawheed. Whether it's dealing with family, whether it's dealing with one's work people. So being upon sincerity and tawheed is so important. It gives us tranquility in this life, and gives us ease in this life, and gives us blessings in this life. Whereas the opposite, shirk, lying, showing off, they cause a grief, anxiety, constraint of the heart, darkness of the heart, a horrible life, depression, these type of matters. And Ibn Qayyim says, its fruits in the hereafter are zakum, a horrible tree in hellfire, and eternal punishment, for shirk, lying, showing off. The next statement is by our Shaykh, Shaykh Abdul Mohsin Abbad al-Badr, Hafidhullah Ta'ala, who's a mountain of knowledge in Medina, he's a scholar of hadith, who's been teaching in the Prophet's Masjid for many, many years. And he teaching in the Islamic University of Medina, is very old. He's in a wheelchair now. And the Shaykh, Shaykh Abdul Mohsin Abbad, was at the time... was also a scholar at the time of Sheikh bin Baz, Sheikh al-Albani, rahimullah, these great scholars. Anyway, just understand that he's a great scholar of hadith. Sheikh Abdul Mohsin Abadi said, the first of these pillars is having iman in Allah. Talking about this hadith, what is iman? He said, أن تؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر والملائكة والملائكة he, okay, to believe in Allah. So the first of these pillars is having iman in Allah. This is the foundation of iman, including all of what is obligatory to have iman of. This is why the angels, the books, the messengers have been added under having iman in Allah. Yeah. So this is the foundation of iman, faith, is having iman in Allah. Okay. And it includes all the rest of it as well. Because if you believe in Allah, you have iman in Allah, you have to accept all the rest of it. And that's why it's shocking when we find people, especially those people of bidah, and those people who are ignorant, and those people who neglect their duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they say, yeah, we believe in Allah, but rather they don't do anything. They don't have the motivation, they don't learn, study about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, believing in Allah means that you accept and you believe in all that which is obligatory for a person to have iman of. Then he said, whoever does not believe in Allah, then he does not believe in the rest of the pillars of iman. Okay? And this is the crux of the matter. When these non-Muslims come, especially in the West, the so-called academics, and they say, oh, what is this foolishness of a religion? What is this foolishness of believing in a creator? What is this foolishness of Day of Judgment, all the rest of it? Angels, can you believe in angels? Yes, we believe in them because we know them to be a reality. We believe in angels because we know that they exist. How do we know that? Because we have iman in Allah. So because they don't have any iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a creator, it's easy for them to reject everything else. Easy to reject the rest of the pillars of iman. Prophets, they say, no, these are just imaginary people. Yeah, imaginary people. They claim it's imaginary. Subhanallah. Whereas we know that the prophets were actual people that came. They were actual people that existed in society. That they were righteous people with noble lineages. They existed in society. So this accusation or this statement that they make, this rejection of the prophets that they make, is not correct. It's not correct. It's not correct because these people actually existed in history, and we know them to be righteous people chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they brought the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the non-Muslims, they reject the pillars of iman. So Sheikh said, whoever does not believe in Allah, then he does not believe in the rest of the pillars of iman. Having any iman in Allah includes having any iman that Allah exists. Having iman in Allah, that Allah exists. Also iman in his rububiyyah, lordship. And inshallah we're going to go into some detail explaining these matters. Iman, faith in his rububiyyah, lordship, his al-uluhiyyah, servitude of worship, and his asma wa sifat, names and characteristics, attributes. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is characterized with all perfection which befits him, and is completely free from any deficiency. Allahu Akbar. Look at that. Completely free from any deficiency. You think of the deficiency, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have that deficiency. Like human beings, we have deficiency of weakness and tiredness. Every living thing becomes tired. Even the fish, even though they carry on swimming, they're asleep, resting. They carry on floating in the sea, but they're sleeping. They need to sleep. They have a need. The whole of the creation has a need. Allah is the one, all perfect. And he's completely free from any deficiency. Okay? This is how we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas these other people who worship human beings, who worship prophets, who worship idols, these all have a deficiency. An idol, if you don't look after it, if you don't plaster it up, if you don't fill the cracks, the cement cracks, and it falls apart. So you have to look after it and you have to repaint it. It has a need. Likewise, a prophet, they were human beings, they ate. They walked in the marketplaces. They died. So they all had a need. Allah is the one who's free from any and all deficiency. Then the Shaykh says, therefore, it is obligatory to have Iman with his Tawheed. It is wajib to have Iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Tawheed, yani singling out Allah alone with worship, in his Rububiyyah, Lordship, his Uluhiyyah, servitude of worship, and his Asma wa Sifat, yani his names and his attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Later on, we'll see this in a short while, an explanation of this, how to define these words in Arabic. So Tawheed has divisions. Our Shaykh Hamad al-Ansari, rahimahullah, one of the great scholars of Hadith, he said, the well-known division in the books of Aqidah Salafiyya is the division into three parts. Okay, so Tawheed is what? Singling out Allah alone for worship. Singling out Allah alone for worship. This whole aspect of Tawheed, yani Allah is the one and only one who deserves worship. Okay, so this whole aspect is divided into three parts. Now, why the scholars divided this into three parts is to make it easier for us to understand. That's all it is. At the time of the Sahaba, the time of the Salaf, they didn't need this division. They didn't need this division or dividing these aspects into three parts. Why? Because they understood it. They understood that Allah is the Lord and the Creator. Allah is the Lord and the Creator. He is the Master on the Day of Judgment. Even the non-Muslims knew that. And that is mentioned in the Quran when Allah mentions about, if you ask them who created everything, the world and the universe, everything, they say Allah. Who sent down the rain? They knew it was Allah. Yeah? But they used to worship other beings, other things other than Allah. So they had Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, Allah's Lordship. Now, Allah is the Lord. He is the Creator. He is the King. He is the disposer of affairs. He controls everything. So this is one aspect of Tawheed. And he's singling out Allah alone to be the King, the Creator. Nobody else can be the Creator. Only Allah. Okay? So even for those people, Muslim brothers who are scientists, and we try to keep away from this word create, or anybody else, we keep away from this word create, yani, and we can make things, yeah, from other things, but to create, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yakhluq, creates. So this is one aspect of Allah's Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, that He is the Lord. He is the Lord. Okay, then we have the next one. The Shaykh says is Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, also mentioned as Tawheed al-Ibadah. Yeah, these are definitions which the scholars extracted from the evidences, and you'll see the proofs for that they extracted these definitions from the text of the Quran and the Sunnah to make it easy for us to understand Tawheed. So we understand Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, Allah's Lordship, Allah the Creator, the King, the Master, the Disposer of Affairs, and many other things as well. Second one, Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah or Tawheed al-Ibadah, servitude of worship. Servitude of worship, meaning Tawheed Ibadah. Tawheed means singling out Allah alone. Ibadah, worship. So singling out Allah alone for worship. That when we actually practically worship Allah, we worship only Allah alone. So we don't place partners with Allah. We don't go to a shrine or a tomb or a grave with a dead person in it and ask that dead person, yeah, for something which only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give us. A person turns around and says, I'm going to this grave because I don't have a child. And this grave, this dead person, is closer to Allah. I'm going to ask this dead person to grant me a child. Or I'm going to ask this dead person to grant me success in my exams. I'm going to go to this dead person to ask him to grant my daughter a husband. Okay? or anything like this. Anything like this. This is shirk al-akbar. This is a major shirk. This is the shirk which takes a person outside the fold of Islam. That a person goes and makes dua, servitude of worship to other than Allah. Doing sajda to a grave. Doing sajda to a tomb. Or a shrine or anything like this. This is shirk akbar. This is the evil of what used to take place before the advent of Islam. From the times of Jahiliyyah. Before the advent of Islam. And this is not permissible. Yeah? So servitude of worship means that worship has to be purely for Allah's sake alone. With sincerity and tawheed. So this is the second type. Tawheed ibadah. The third type is Tawheed Asma wa Sifat. Tawheed Asma wa Sifat is the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has names that He's given Himself in the Quran and the Hadith, and He's given Himself attributes, actions which Allah, and attributes which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ascribed to Himself. Okay? And we accept those attribute names and attributes, and we'll see that in detail. The Shaykh says, these divisions have become known due to the people of knowledge investigating and researching of the evidences of the book and the sunnah. These divisions have become known due to the people of knowledge, Ahlul Ilm, Al-Ulama, investigating and researching of the evidences of the book and the sunnah. And they're looking into the ayat and the hadith. Okay? So we find that this is the correct way. And this is something the scholars are in agreement about. The scholars of the Sunnah, scholars of Hadith, scholars of the correct Aqidah, they're in agreement about these three different types of Tawheed. Yeah? These different divisions of Tawheed. Even though it all comes down to one thing about Allah, dividing it so we can understand it easier and better and simplify it for us, because some people, they went to extremes in one matter and didn't go into extremes in other matters of Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing about knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so and there are people who reject this, different aspects of Tawheed. Why? Because they want to bring shirk, they want to bring their bid'ah, their innovations and their kufr, and they want to spread that, so they reject this. They say this is from the Wahhabis. The Wahhabis. And you ask them, what is a Wahhabi? And they don't know. They say, oh, a Wahhabi is somebody who doesn't send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. La, 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 la. It's ignorance, jahl. These people, they're the ones that send salat the most on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because of reading the hadith. So you people only send salat on the Prophet after the adhan, or even before the adhan, on the loudspeaker they start singing, ya salatu wa salama, ya Rasulullah, salatu wa salama ala kada, and then after the adhan they say the same thing, which is bid'ah, innovation. Okay, or after the prayer everybody starts singing together in the congregation, salatu wa salam, ya Rasulullah, and all that, ya Habibullah, and all the rest of it, all bid'ah. Innovations, something which the Prophet ﷺ and Sahaba didn't practice. And they claim that we don't love the Prophet ﷺ. Rather, we love the Prophet ﷺ more than we love our own selves. But you people claim, these other people, they claim to love the Prophet ﷺ and they don't follow his sunnah. And they start innovating and making up things. And then they claim that these Wahhabis, they're the ones that splitting up this Tawheed. La ya Shaykh. Great scholars from before. Then our Shaykh, Shaykh Hamad Ansari, rahimahullah, he said, the different types of Tawheed are connected. Yani Tawheed, Rububiyyah, Uluhiyyah, Asma wa Sifat, they're all connected, they're not separate from each other. Okay? When we say that Allah is the King and the Master and Creator, we know that we accept and we understand, we have to worship Him alone. And we know that Allah is the most kind, the most merciful. He has names, He has attributes. They're all connected. The different types of Tawheed are connected. So whoever commits shirk, associating others with Allah in worship, in one type of tawheed, then he has committed shirk in the other types. He has committed shirk in the other types. So now, let's look at at-tawheed al-rububiyyah, Allah's lordship. Let's look at some evidences, in the Quran, which show to us the ayat, show us the this and explain to us this aspect of rububiyyah, Allah's lordship. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. In Surah Fatiha, which we recite so many times in the day, meaning all praises and thanks be to Allah, Alhamdu Rabbil Alameen. Rabb, the word Rabb, the Lord of the Alameen, the Lord of all that exists. The Lord, the Rabb, of all that exists, yani mankind, jinn, and all that exists. Rabb, the word Lord is mentioned. Very clear, so we know that Allah is the creator, the Lord of everything that exists. So this is a clear evidence, which we all know, and we all recite, but very few of us actually understand it. Very few of us actually understand this ayah, because when we read in Arabic, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, and we don't know what we're saying. This is the crux of the matter. We don't know what we're saying. Rabbil Alameen, the Lord of everything that exists. So we believe in the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ala lahul khalq wal amr. Ala lahu al-khalq wal-amr. Surely his is the creation and the command. Surely his is the creation and command. Yani Allah has the commandment. Yani surely indeed, Allah is, his is the creation, it belongs to him. He created it and his is the command. And this is Surah Al-A'raf, Ayah 54. The whole of the ayah is very beautiful because it says, Inna رَبَّكُمُ اللَّهُ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْأَرْشِ. Indeed, your Lord is Allah. Again, رُبُبِيَّ, رَبُّكُمْ. Inna رَبُّكُمْ Allah. Indeed, your Lord is Allah. الَّذِي who created, خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, who created the heavens and the earth. So from his attributes is that he creates, that he is lordship, he is creator, rububiyyah, for him his lordship, created the heavens and the earth, فِسِتَّةَ أَيَّامٍ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْأَرْشِ, that he had and created in 6 days, ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْأَرْشِ, and he rose above the throne, ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْأَرْشِ, and this is tawheed asma wa sifat, sifat, the sifat of Allah, the characteristic, the attribute of Allah, that he rose above the throne. يُخْشِ اللَّيْلَ النَّحَارِ يَتْلُبْهُ حَثِيثًا. He brings the night as a cover over the day. يُخْشِ اللَّيْلَ النَّحَارِ. He brings the night as a covering over the day. You know, when the night comes in, the Maghrib time, all of a sudden, it's like, a blanket being put over the light. So it's covering it over. يَطْلُبُهُ حَثِيثًا, seeking it rapidly, yani coming very quickly, it becomes night time. وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرُ وَالنُّجُومُ مُسَخَّرَاتٌ بِأَمْرِهِ, and he created the sun, the moon, and the stars subjected to his command. Subjected to his command. So we have in this ayah, Lord created, brings the night as a day, created the sun and the moon, subjected to his command, yani Allah's command, rububiyyah. Ala lahul khalq wal amr. Then Allah completes his ayah. Ala lahul khalq wal amr. Surely his is the creation and commandment. Tabarakallahu rabbul alameen. Blessed be Allah, the Lord of all that exists, of all creation, mankind, jinn, everything, all that exists. So this ayah, a beautiful ayah, not only does it contain the Tawheed of Rububiya, but Tawheed Asma wa Sifat as well. Okay? But here, and also Tawheed al-Shismu al-Uluhiyya, Ibadah, because he created the sun and moon, and they've been subjected to his command. They have to worship Allah according to, they have to do what Allah orders them to do. Allah orders the sun and the moon to, you know, the stars to follow a certain path, every day. And the sun asks Allah, it goes under, when it sets under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then it asks permission to rise up again the next day. So it is worshipping, it is under the uluhiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this ayah is beautiful. Indeed, your Lord is Allah who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. Then he, astawa, rose over the throne. He brings the night as a cover over the day, seeking it rapidly. And he created the sun, the moon, and the stars, subjected to his command. Surely his is the creation and commandment. Blessed be Allah, the Lord of all that exists. SubhanAllah, when we read these ayat, it really puts everything into context. It puts everything into context that how we are supposed to be. Even though this is dealing with rububiyyah, it's dealing with Allah's lordship, but still it places everything into the correct context of how the Muslim subjects himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He accepts Allah's command. Yeah? The sun, the moon, the stars, they're subjected to Allah's command. So a Muslim willingly, trying his best as much as he can with sincerity and tawheed, and he submits himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not the other way around, where he tries to fit the deen into himself. Rather, he himself practices that as much as he can, fears Allah as much as he can, fattakullah mastata'tum, fear Allah as much as you can, in following the rules and regulations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down. The next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, and this is again about uluhiyya, ibadah, rububiyya, sorry, the lordship of Allah. And Allah is the Lord. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said, وَلِلَّهِ الْمُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And to Allah belongs the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. And to Allah belongs the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. وَلِلَّهِ الْمُلْكُ. Allah is the Malik. Allah is the Malik. Allah is the one who possesses all this. He is the Malik of the heavens and the earth. Okay? It belongs to him. He's the Lord. He is the creator. He's the Malik. Yeah? He's the possessor, the master of the day of judgment. Allah Ta'ala says in another ayah, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْءٍ أَنْ يَكُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Verily, his command, when he intends a thing, is only that he says it to be and it is. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how does Allah create? Allah says, كُنْ فَيَكُونَ, be and it is. A situation we live in our daily lives. I need a job, I need education, I need money, I need this, I need that. We ask Allah, and Allah says, kun, and it is. Allah says, be, and it is. It occurs. It's created. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْءٍ. If verily his command is when he intends a matter. His command, Allah's order, أَرَادَ شَيْءٍ أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ, it only says to it, be, kun, fayakun. Kun, fayakun. Be, and it is. This is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in creating. The order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it shows, indicates to Allah's rububiyya, Allah's lordship. Another ayah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو قُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. Indeed, Allah, verily Allah, is the all provider, الرَّزَّاق, ذُو قُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ, owner of power, the most strong. ذو قوة, the owner of power, force. Al-Mateen, the most strong. Okay? The most strong. So, it gives us names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah, and that Allah is the one is the disposer of all affairs. Allah is the one who provides, the all provider, Ar-Razzaq. Allah is the all provider. That's His Lordship. That's from His Lordship, because He is the Lord, He is the provider. Not these idols that people worship. Not these graves that they people go to. The grave people, the people in the graves themselves need help. They need our dua. Okay? Whereas Allah is the all provider. So Tawheed Rububiyyah is, okay, and our Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Abad, Hafidhullah, he said, the Tawheed of Allah in His Rububiyyah, Lordship, is the acceptance and affirmation. We accept in our hearts and affirm it that Allah is one, alone in His actions. Nobody creates along with Allah. Nobody gives rizq with, along with Allah. Rizq comes with the permission of Allah. Yeah, you receive it from a company. You receive it from your employer. Yeah, you pass your exams due to your efforts and get marked by the school or the university or whatever. Yeah, the provision comes from there, but Allah is the one who allows that and gives permission for that. The Tawheed of Allah in His Rububiyyah, Lordship, is the acceptance and affirmation that Allah is one, alone is in His actions. He has no partner sharing in His actions. So nobody along with Allah creates, okay? Like in creating, providing sustenance, giving life, taking life, organizing and planning all matters, control and arranging of the universe, amongst other matters which are connected to His Rububiyyah, Lordship. Okay? So this is what Rububiyyah is. That is the acceptance and affirmation that Allah is alone in His actions. He has no partner sharing in His actions, like in creating, providing sustenance, giving life, taking life, organizing, planning all matters, control and arranging of the universe, amongst other matters which are connected to His Rububiyyah, Lordship. Okay, we'll end there for today. Shorter lesson than usual, because the next aspect is Tawheed Uluhiyyah, servitude of worship, and it is slightly detailed. So we'll end there for today, inshallah, with this lesson of the first pillar of Iman in belief of Allah and its explanation, because it is detailed, and this is the foundation of our da'wah of Tawheed and our Iman and our belief. So it's very important to study these matters in detail and to read up about them as well, and to implement them as well, the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding the Lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jazakum Allahu khairan for listening. May Allah reward the dear brothers and sisters who broadcast these lessons and spread them. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad.